I selected this last song about Zion. The last verse says, "My soul shall pray for Zion still, while life or breath remains. There my best friends, my kindred dwell. There God, my Savior, reigns." This morning I'd like for us to, if you have your scriptures, to turn to the book of Ephesians. The first chapter. We have heard lots of good preaching from these first verses of this chapter. It speaks of the eternal aspects, what we are in Christ, and how we've been blessed to be chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, and His love was given to us in Christ before the world began, and we've been predestinated to be adopted into His family. And it's all through His grace. He made us accepted in the Beloved. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And He's made known unto us all these things through the Spirit. But this morning, I don't want to dwell upon those points. I want to go to the last portion of this chapter. And I want to speak to you about Paul's prayers for the church. There is two particular prayers in the book of Ephesians. One in here, and we'll read this, and one also in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. And Paul is praying for the church. And remembering that the Apostle Paul is considered one of his prison epistles. Paul is in a Roman prison, having only correspondence through various ones that come to visit him and give him the reports of how things are going in the churches. And Paul, I believe, has a deep-seated love for these people. We've been going through the book of Acts. I'm vibrating here, Daryl. I don't know if this is normal or not, but going through the book of Acts in our Wednesday night services, and we, through these verses, find that how the Apostle Paul at one time was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor of the church. He stood by and held the coats of Lord's servant, Stephen, the coats of those that stoned Stephen. But the Lord arrested Paul. He had letters in his hands, letters of authority to throw in jail or to persecute those that called upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord stopped him in his tracks. And it says that he called him by his grace and established him in the gospel ministry. And that's why the apostle, he now loves the things that he used to hate. He seeks after those things that he despised before. And he has such a love for these people that he at one time despised. You see, God's able to turn us, to change us, and to turn us around and cause us to serve Him. And that's what He did with Paul. And with those few words, we will read, we'll begin reading in verse 15 and read through verse 21. He says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Well, this is awesome. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, there's a few things that I want to point out that Paul was including in this particular prayer. That first we look at verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto you the spirit of wisdom, and the revelation in him, in the knowledge of him. Wisdom sometimes it's very hard to define, but wisdom, I think one of the best definitions of wisdom is the application or the right application of knowledge. Knowledge is gained through our reading, through our education, through experience. We gain a lot of knowledge through just our everyday life, going through the trials and the troubles. We learn things by our mistakes. And Brother Bill has this saying, and I've kind of adopted it, when he says that, wouldn't it be wonderful, Brother Allen, that we could go back when we first began to minister to the Lord's people and have the knowledge and the wisdom that we have now. But you see, through 30 years of being in the church and preaching the gospel, I have gained some things. I've made a lot of mistakes, and I've learned from those mistakes. But Brother Bill's statement is, well, you know, it's simply, the simple fact is that we're too soon old and too late smart. So when you think about that, it's here the Apostle Paul is praying for the church that God would give them wisdom, knowing how to apply the situations of life in the right time at the right moment. When times come in our lives and difficulties approach us, sometimes we don't know what to do. We are beside ourselves sometimes on how many troubles and things that's in this world that seem to just continually pepper us drawing us away to the things of the world. But here the apostle says, I want you, Lord, to give wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of him. Now I want you to think about that. The revelation of the knowledge of him. He has given us in this word. Now we know that the knowledge that he's given us in here about how that Jesus died for our sins and how that we were elected before the foundation of the world and all of these things, these points cannot be taught to somebody that does not know God. It says we ought to be thankful for the knowledge that we have of God. What a blessing it is for us to even know about God, and what a blessing it is for us to be able to put our lives into his care. And he goes on in this chapter, and it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He is here praying that God would give us light, that he would open our eyes. We sing a song sometime, open my eyes that I may see. We need to be praying for the church that the Lord would open the eyes, not just of the ministry, but of each and every one, that he would give us understanding and open our eyes to the point that we're able to see the things that that he's given to us to know in his word, to be able to have enlightenment in everyday life, in the things that we need to know. Sometimes when we come to the Lord in prayer, we simply don't even know how to pray. The scriptures teach us that he said that he He feels and he knows just a groan within us. But when we come to him with the enlightenment, I am so thankful for the gift that God has given our dear brother Jim White in prayer. I could just some guys have that. Well, I don't. I struggle in my prayer sometimes to even know how to pray. But we would pray for each other that we would know. Now notice it says, being enlightened that we may know what is the hope, what is the hope of his calling. I pray that God would reveal to each one of us how, what a glorious thing it is to be able to have a hope in Christ. And to understand what it is to be a child of God, what it is to be able to have him as our keeper, and to have him as our guide, and what it is to be able to look. Now, hope is something beyond. We need grace for today, don't we? We need grace for living today. But we need to be able to understand that this life is not all there is. That it's a lot more beyond this life, the hope of his calling. He has called us from darkness unto light. He's given to us the power of his spirit. He's given to us all of the things that we need that we may live our lives in a godly way here in this world. And that's why that the apostle here is praying that the church here at Ephesus would be able to have an understanding of what it is to have hope in Christ. Hope is the anchor of the soul. The opposite of it, of course, is despair. If we don't have hope, then we're in despair. But to understand that we have been born of God's Spirit, we were chosen in before the world began, and he's given to us of his Spirit now, and to be able to look forward by faith into what we are to receive after this life is over. That's what keeps us going in this life. That's what keeps us from despairing in this life, is to know that no matter however this works out, I am going to be with the Lord one day. Now, that ought to give us strength and courage to be able to understand that. And that's why the Apostle Paul here, he is saying, I want them to know what is the hope of their calling. What is your calling? I mean, he has called us from sin and darkness. He has called us to from total depravity into the marvelous light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this next song under this one that we just sang, I want to read a little bit of that. It kind of expresses my sentiment this morning. The gospel tells how Jesus came to save his people from their sins, to heal the sick, to the blind, the lame, and to comfort wretched and dying men. That's what Paul wants you to be able to know that. He wants you to be able to know what the gospel is. Grace is the gospel's glorious theme. We love grace, don't we? We love to hear about grace. We love to sing about grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Some people, they can't say that. But we are, before God came to us, we were despicable. We were wretches. We had no hope, and we were without God in the world. But he says the grace is the gospel's glorious theme. It sings of Jesus and his love. Sung by redeemed. Paul wants you to know that you've been redeemed. He wants you to understand that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He said, sung by redeemed and blood-washed throng around God's great white throne. We have our names are written in the book of life. Paul wants you to know that. And that's what keeps you going here in this world. Everything that we do must have that. Is its backdrop. And now notice the next part of this verse. The gospel filled with mighty power. Mighty power. We're going to talk about that in a minute. With mighty power will comfort souls in dire distress. And turn men in their saddest hour from sorrow into happiness. The gospel is a sacred trust bestowed upon God's chosen race by Jesus Christ, the good and just, a Savior full of truth and grace. Isn't that Just that psalm is so precious and such a wonderful truth in that. That the apostle, he goes on that they may know what is the hope of their calling and what is his inheritance in the saints. Now, I used to read that, what is our inheritance? But it's a little pronoun, Brother Tom, that's H-I-S. That's God's inheritance. What is God's inheritance? You know, we belong to him. We are his inheritance, and he's ours. We find that, I want to read a verse over in Deuteronomy that is very familiar to us, Deuteronomy chapter 32. He says, remember the former things of old, the years of many generations. Ask thy fathers, and he will show thee, and the elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations, listen, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, he divided to the nations their inheritance. When he separated the sons of Adam, there is all of the human race. Here is all of the human race. What is the inheritance of the natural man? What is he inherited by sin? What does he have that he can claim of any goodness at all? He said, when he divided to the nations their inheritance, he separated the sons of Adam. He made a choice in the sons of Adam. This is what we call election. He chose us in his son before the foundation of the world. He said, he separated the sons of Adam. He set the bounds of the people. Listen, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. He said, I didn't choose you because you was the greatest people or because you was the strongest people, but because you were the weakest. And he set his name upon you. The name Israel means princes of God. You are his chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. And it says, for the Lord's portion, a portion may be 99.9%, but it's never 100%. A portion, it says the Lord's portion of the Adamic race, the Lord's portion of the human race is his people. His people. Jacob is the lot. Listen to me. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. That's all. God gave his people to his son. We are his inheritance, and he is our inheritance. He is ours, and we're his. And isn't that marvelous thinking when you can think about that we belong to him, and he belongs to us? He is our personal Savior. He belongs to me. He is my shepherd. He belongs to me, and I belong to him. And this is such a wonderful expression. What is the hope of his calling and what the riches, oh how rich this is, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then he says, I pray that they may know what is the greatness of his power. Power. That word is dunamis. I've talked about this before, but it is a Greek word which means dynamite. It's where we get our word dynamite. He says, I want them to know what is their power. I want them to know what the potential they have in God. I want them to understand how much power they have in being called children of God. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, to us. This power is to us who believe. Now notice it says, and this power is according to the working of his mighty power. The power that we have is working in us because it was given to us as the gift of God. This power, what we have in us, is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. It's working in us. It is that which guides us. It is that which brings us knowledge. It is those things that he is desiring that these things would come. And it says, now notice this power. It's the same power that's in you which God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now, what was the power that raised up Christ from the dead? It was the voice of the God of the God of heaven that created this great universe. It is the one that said, "Let there be light," and there was light, who flung the stars out into space, the one that has all power in heaven and earth. This same power is the power that he has given to you who believe in him. Now, Paul wants you to know that. He wants you to understand that. That this power that we have, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. The same power. Now, you may not feel it, but I want you to feel it. And that's what Paul wanted you to do, is to be able to understand and to know and to recognize that you have this power. And it's, oh, you have a power over principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. You have that authority, that power, to overcome the things of this world. There's many things in this world that will take us aside. The Apostle Peter said that Satan is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Therefore, he says, resist him steadfastly in the faith. You're to resist him. How are you to resist him? With your own power? You don't have any power. You're to resist him with the strength and the power that God has given you in your heart and in your soul. The mighty God that raised Christ from the dead. Now, that's Paul's prayer there. And I want to shift gears a little bit and turn over to the third chapter. And we got just a little bit more time. The third chapter of the book of Ephesians. And again, the apostle here is, he first brings us the knowledge of, through his preaching about what God has done for you. He wants you to know that he wants you to be thankful. Are you thankful for just knowing Jesus as your Savior? Do you thank him every day? Are you grateful for the blessings that you have in him? We'll begin reading in, let's begin reading in verse 11. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus, in whom we have boldness. I want you to see this. We're not timid. We shouldn't be timid, backward Christians. You should have boldness. You have authority to rebuke the things that of this world through the power of God. He said,
there's a lot of people that just say, well, I rebuke that. Well, you don't have any authority or power in your own self, but your authority comes through God.
I don't believe we can even recognize the extent of this. Now notice he says, according to his eternal purpose, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. We have access. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to offer up sacrifices anymore. We don't have to have a priest offer up our prayers for us. We have access to the very throne room of God, where God is sitting at the right hand of God on high. You can go there through prayer and through the Holy Spirit of God. You have access, boldness in the Spirit. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, for the very reason that I want you to be able to understand and to have the wisdom and the knowledge to know these things. The apostle here is praying for, now notice it says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth are named. The whole family. You know, we have family. We have family that are outside the walls. Aren't you thankful for this? But don't we have family outside the walls of this church?
If there's a person that has been chosen in Christ and believes in Jesus Christ and has been born to the Spirit of God, we have something in common with them. We have the same Father and the same Savior, and they are part of our family. There's a family of God. But brothers and sisters, we have a family. This is home. We have a family that is so close to each other that we can, as Brother Bill said last Sunday, all that we could just feel each other's heartbeat, that we could feel soul-to-soul communication with one another. I think this is what the Lord wants us to be able to understand and have this sweet communion with Him in fellowship in the church. Of the whole family of earth and heaven is named, that He would... Now, this is Paul's prayer. I would that God would grant unto you, according to the riches of His glory, to strengthen, that you may be strengthened with might, with His might, with His power, by His Spirit in the inner man. You see, the strength that we're looking for this morning is not physical strength. We can go work out at the Y and do all of these things and get really strong and lift weights and do all of these things and get our body real pumped up. But that doesn't do us one bit of good as far as our spiritual aspect. Paul is praying not that you would have a physical strong body. Yes, we are to take care of our body. So we abuse it. A lot of us do personally. But he says, and he reminds us that our body is the temple of the Spirit of God. But he wants you, Brother Jim, to be strengthened in the inner man. He wants you to feel the power of God inside your soul. That you can go through the darkest hours, the darkest times in your life, and still have joy in your soul. Sister Verity, you can have joy in your soul. And remember your friend. And thank God that there's something beyond this life that we have looked forward to look to. It's sad. You know, sadness and sorrow, joy and happiness, they go like this together. That He may grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with the might of His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Not mind. Well, we got Him in our heart. We got Him in our intellect. But as Brother Jim prayed, unless God blesses this message to your heart, to the inner man, it's not going to be of any benefit to you at all. I pray that God would bless you in the inner man, that He would bless you to understand and know these things, that these things would give you courage and strength, that you may go forward in this ungodly world and conquer those enemies through the power and the Spirit of God, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. You see, this is Paul is praying for your love, that you would know what the love, first of all, that you may be able to comprehend. I want you to understand, he says. I pray God will give you understanding, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Now, we have a three-dimensional view, don't we, sometimes? But Paul puts it in four dimensions here. He said, I want you to be able to comprehend what is the breadth. I would say the breadth of this building is this way. And I want you to be able to understand the length from here all the way to there. And I want you to be able to understand the depth as far down as you can go here. And I want you to be able to understand the height, the width, the length, the depth, and the height. I want you to understand, I mean, how much, what else can you, is there any other dimension we can mention? But Paul says, I want you to understand. I want you to be able to comprehend. I want you to lay hold upon these concepts of how the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge.
Can you grab a hold of how much God loved you? How much did He love you? How much did He love you?
John 3:16 has that one little old monosyllable, so. S-O.
He loved you. God so loved you that He sent His Son to die in your place.
He said, I want you to be able to understand the magnitude of that. I want you to be able to understand the height and the depth and the length and all of these things, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It is beyond our human comprehension. We cannot understand why God would do such things as this. For somebody that hated Him, for people that despised Him, He didn't wait till we became good. He loved us when we were His enemies. He died for us even when we were in trespasses and in sins. Paul said, I want you to understand the magnitude of such a love as that. Can you? It should overwhelm your soul. It should drive you to comprehend and drive you to your knees in thankfulness and gratitude for Him. It should cause us, brother and sister, want to serve Him more and more and more, to recognize what He's done for us. I want you to know the love of Christ, which passes all understanding, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able. I want you to understand that He is able. He's able. He has all power. He's never lost a battle. He's never been discouraged. And He's never too busy to hear you. Our Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne of God, interceding for you, for your prayer. Now unto Him that's able. Paul says, I want them to be able to understand the great power of God, that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. This power is working in us. It's continually working in us. It's the same power. It's the same thing. It's the same power that God gave to Christ when He called Him out of the grave and He raised Him from the dead and set Him on His right hand. That's the power. He said, I want you to understand that that's the power that's in you. He said, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. There's a greater power that is more powerful than all of the devils of hell. And all of the troubles and trials of life, underneath it all is the authority and the power of the Word of God. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that you may boldly say, I shall not fear what man will do unto me. Brethren, if you could grab a hold of these things, you'll be able to stand up and be able to go through this life with courage and strength and authority and power, and to be able to overcome the greatest of all troubles. And you know what's going to help you through that more than anything is the hope that you have. It's the anchor of your soul. It's both sure and steadfast. It's entered into the veil. And when we can recognize that, hey, There's no problem too big for our God. No problem. There's no disease that God cannot or will not heal. You see, we pray. I have a brother, Lavina, lost her brother. We prayed for Buddy. I prayed for my brother. But you know, I'm happy. I'm thankful in that. I'm thankful. I'm thankful in Buddy's cancer, my brother's cancer, that there is a healing that's going to take place in them. It may not be here, but brother, he's, sister, he's going to be whole.
He is totally whole.
My brother's not having more chemo after for long.
That's the power that God wants you to plug into, that you may go through this life with joy and happiness. In all of your sadness and sorrows, you can still have joy in all the things that come upon you. All that we would be able to keep these things in our minds day by day, each passing moment. And more than anything, be thankful for every blessing that He's given you. I have a lot of blessings out here today. I have three right here. May the Lord bless us this morning to be able to understand, comprehend, and to live our lives day by day in the Word of God.